Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show, In Touch Interviews with author Barbara Senor and her book, The Pact, Messages from the Other Side. Today is June 13th, 2014, and look, it is Friday the 13th, and it is a full moon this evening. So we have a lot of energy in the air today, a lot of different things going on, and we have a wonderful author here talking about her book, The Pact, and Messages from the Other Side. And without further ado, I'm going to bring her live, and we are going to see what she has to say. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, and my name is pronounced Signer, just to let everybody know.
Okay, see, I will make that one a mistake again.
it's mispronounced many times, so don't worry about it, Courtney.
So tell us a little bit about your book, because, you know, when I got it in the mail and I picked it up, you know, the first thing I thought was, okay, this is another metaphysical book or another, you know, book that kind of involves mediumship or, you know, things along those lines. But then I sat down and I started reading it, and I realized that I wasn't reading anything that I've ever read before. This is completely different and completely new. So tell listeners about, you know, what your book is about.
Okay, I think I'll kind of start from the beginning. In 2009, our adult son, who was an alcoholic, passed away, and about 6 months after he died, my husband and I, David, sat down and was grieving and kind of asking many, many questions to the universe. You know, why would we have to outlive one of our children? And then we started thinking about the other side, and we wondered if our son possibly could hear us talking or feel our pain. And as we were talking, I got this really strong desire to ask my husband if we could make a pact. And the pact was whichever one of us would pass away first would come back in whatever manner they could and contact the one that was left on Earth. And he agreed to this pact, and we went over, like, you know, the different ways that maybe the other one could contact the other one that was left, through mediumship or psychics or automatic writing or hypnotherapy or the normal things of, you know, ringing the telephone and those types of things. But I really wanted more than that. So I said, I really would like to know if you're on the other side about reincarnation and if there really is past lives, which I had believed in my whole life. And I thought when we made this pact, of course, it would be 20, 30 years later that something would happen to one of us. And suddenly, less than 2 years later, my husband did pass away. And it was a shock. It was very sudden. He was not ill. But because the pact was so new in my mind, of course, I wandered around waiting for something to happen, as most of us really do want to keep that connection with our loved ones. And he was able, actually, to send me indications that he could, like ringing huge chimes in the backyard at any time when there was no wind, no air going through the trees at all. And I think he sent me a message through a song that was in Italian, and I do not speak Italian, and I went to the computer and translated it, and part of that is in the book also. So I really wanted more than that. I wanted to be a medium. I wanted to be able to really hear him or see him, but that didn't happen. However, about a year later, I went on a spiritual retreat, and I was still grieving, and I was crying, and I was yelling at God and saying, you know, why did you have to take half my family? And during the retreat, I was doing a lot of walking and a lot of journaling. And I'd go out every day, and I would sit and just write out all my feelings and lots of questions that I was asking. And a couple of times I received what I felt were answers to my questions. And when I got back home and I read back through my journal, I really realized that a lot of the answers that I was receiving were coming from David. They were direct answers to my questions. And towards the end of the journal, he instructed me to go to my computer and get in a very meditative, relaxed state of mind and close my eyes and listen to what he had to tell me. So I'd never done any channeling before, so this was, you know, partly I was feeling a little crazy. And I made kind of a shrine of my desk and with crystals and candles and his picture and got into a very deep meditation. And I started asking questions and closed my eyes, and I automatically typed what he was telling me. So that's how this all began. So can we kind of stop there for a minute and pause, and you can ask me questions?
Well, there, you know, I've read your book, so, you know, I think that it's great that, you know, you're informing listeners of how it did all begin and how you got to this place to put this out there, you know. And I have to ask, because for anybody who has not read this book, I definitely recommend you pick it up and read it. It's wonderful. The day I sat down and I actually opened it up, I read straight through. I left work that day, took it home, went home, and I finished it that night. It took me probably about 4 or 5 hours to read the whole thing, but I read the whole thing. I couldn't put it down. I was like, I have to know what happened.
Thank you.
But, you know, how, I guess my first question is you start your book off with your past life experiences and some of the past lives that David showed you. You know,
yeah.
Did they come through to you as clear as they are in the book, and how did that feel for you?
Okay. Most of the questions at the beginning were questions about what happens on the other side when a soul passes over, and are there such things as angels, and the normal questions that are really in the back of the book under the channeling part. But I really, towards the end of when he was giving me all of that information, I wanted to know about past lives. And he, at the end of the book, I also wrote what he told me about half a dozen or so of the lifetimes that we had had together, and mostly with our son, so that I could understand why there was so much turmoil between the three of us this lifetime. And I wanted the book not to just be a lot of information. So what I did is I made it a memoir of David and I, of this lifetime, how we met, and I interweaved our lifetime together with some of the lifetimes that he told me about. Now, Courtney, the lifetimes that I write in the book are stories. The lifetimes that he told me about at the back of the book, with the details of the names and the dates, are like, what, a couple of paragraphs long. And what I did is each time he would tell me about one of those lifetimes is I would meditate. Sometimes I'd even dream about that lifetime. And I made up the stories of the lifetime that is at the beginning of the book. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. But I think that from the perspective that you wrote it, you really needed to, I mean, I guess from my understanding, writing it that way, from reading it in that direction of, you know, the stories and how you met David and, you know, how your life evolved with him and your son and, you know, your daughter as well, I think that it really gives readers an idea of, how do I want to put it? It's almost like how much he meant to you. Like, this is not, this is you literally putting your experience out there for people to read and understand. That means something to you. But it also really deeply impacts others.
Oh, I really hope so. It was something that I just felt I needed to do. You know, when you have that feeling that you just need to finish something. Actually, I was writing another book when all this happened, and I had to put that book aside and just really concentrate on getting this book finished. It was a real need inside of me. And I actually, at one point, I think I even say this in the book, I asked him, is it all right if I share his words and our lifetimes in a book to the public? And he said yes, and that it would hopefully help many people, especially those that have lost loved ones, and get a better grasp on the afterlife and that there is such things as souls, that we actually have souls that continue living and actually incarnate many times. So to answer that question, yes, it meant a lot to me, and it still means a lot to me, and I'm so honored that the book has been received in such high praise, and that the word is really getting spread very quickly.
Well, I know all of our listeners out there are very curious about your connections with your husband, you know, and I know that you explain it in the back of the book, some of the sessions that you had with him and some of the things that he said. But would you like to tell our listeners, you know, what did he say about the other side? What is it like over there for him?
Yes. In fact, if it's okay with you, I thought I would read a couple of passages.
Go ahead.
Okay. That way they can get an idea, everybody listening can get an idea a little bit about how his words were given to me. I asked him some of the beginning questions were, what it's like on the other side. And he said, everything here is open. It is not actually open. It just is. If you can imagine a light bulb and how turning it on creates light spreading outwards from itself, that's how it is here. If I have a thought, share an opinion, ask a question, travel beyond your understanding to other places, reach out to sense touch you, or separate my soul to seek another, all these actions become known to all. And the same goes for all the other souls here. It is quite busy here. No time for regrets, pity, or negative thinking, because everyone is moving forward, towards their own unraveling of their soul's journey. And then I asked, is it true that another soul meets you on the other side after you die? And he said, yes, there are souls that have the duty of meeting those appearing here. It's like a big train station. And that sounds just like David, something that he would compare. Where those from the material realms appear in the oneness. If there are no familiar souls right away to greet you, it is because those who want to meet you are without a tier or a layer of their soul to appear before you. But soon after coming to the oneness, each soul is given a type of orientation as to where they are, and soon they remember the familiar routine of it all, and the souls of loved ones appear. You want to ask or say anything yet?
You know, I just, you know, I've worked with mediumship all my life. So I think that, you know, a lot of people out there are so curious and so becoming so very open-minded to what it is like on the other side, or even if there is an other side.
Right.
So I think that the way David describes it is really amazing. I think it's wonderful. And I think it's understandable, because I think with us being humans, you know, we try to put everything in a box, a very simplistic box. And that doesn't mean it always works that way. But you can continue reading if you would like.
Okay. Well, one of the questions was, what about dreams? And can souls from the other side enter a person's dreams? And I asked him that because I felt when he started coming to me that my dreams were so real, whether he was in them or they were about a lifetime or something else going on presently, they became very, very real. And part of that may have been because for this whole time that I was doing the channeling, I was keeping myself in a very pristine place and positive and meditating and eating right and, you know, all of that. So I asked him about dreams, and he said, when a human being is in a dream state, the superconscious mind is resting in a higher vibration than when it is in a conscious state. Dreams come from a crossover between the conscious, subconscious, and the superconscious states of awareness. In other words, dreams form in your brain and contain many images from your waking state, your conscious memory. They can also join with images from the superconscious or the higher self. Dreams are a result of your brain's activity and your soul's sensitivity. Some people dream only from their consciously active states of mind, bringing images and stories from their present or past experiences. Others dream from a more superconscious state, which crosses over into the space of events that may not have yet been experienced or envisioned. And by that, I think he's talking about prophetic dreams, when you have a dream that later maybe part of it seems to unravel or come to fruition. As a little girl, I used to have prophetic dreams, and they were actually, they were dreams that I had about relatives that were going to pass away or that did pass away. And that continued into my adulthood once in a while, but I actually didn't enjoy that type of prophetic dream. So I just kind of turned that part of me off, I think. My younger sister has prophetic dreams all the time. So I think that's when he was talking about experiencing events that may not have been experienced or envisioned. I think that's what he was meaning. Have you had any prophetic dreams, Courtney?
Yes. I've had several. I think that it's one of those things that I've just been gifted with over this lifetime, is just to be able to help people in an intuitive way. That's actually part of my career as well. But, you know, do you feel now that you went through all of these things with him, you know, you had a life together, and sadly, yeah, he is gone, and these channelings and looking back at this, do you find yourself more intuitive on this side of the bar than maybe you were when you were a child?
That's a good question. I seem to be more sensitive. I guess you could call it intuition. I seem to be more sensitive. I don't plan on being a channel or trying to connect with any other souls or departed souls. That's not my purpose this lifetime, to be a channel or a medium. This was just, I think, one of those, well, it's because of the pact, because we really wanted the other one to come back and explain the other side. And I thought it was real interesting. You probably caught this in the book also, how when David came back to me in the beginning, it was all in the first person and all about David and I, and he spoke in, you know, I and me terms. And then later, when he started talking about joining a soul group or soul being, I think is what he called it, his language was actually then kind of transferred more into the third person, and he started talking with we. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. I found it actually very interesting as I was reading, and then I do feel like you guys, well, between, you know, what he said and what you put in there, that you fully explained why that occurred. But for our listeners, I think that might be something you might want to explain a little bit.
Let me see if I can find something about that real quick.
Well, from what I remember, he started to explain, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the way I took it as a reader, that, you know, when you pass, you still, you know, you remember yourself as yourself. You know, I would be Courtney, you would be Barbara. But once you start to kind of join in the oneness and go into your soul circle, you're connecting with all of your current, present, and past lives. And all of those lives have, you know, you were such and such, and you are right now such and such. And that's where he started to gain those terms, we, because he was connecting to those other, it's almost like his soul, you know, his main soul source, I guess, is the way I took it.
Very well put. I found this little passage right here where he says, "You may have noticed how my sharing is changing. It is the result of an expansion of my soul, and I feel further from the person David, whom I was in our lifetime together. Please try to understand that I am no longer I, but we. When I, as David, want to remember my time with you as Barbara, I can do so, but my language is changing to include my soul being and all of its souls." So instead of saying soul family, he uses soul being, but it's the same concept, I'm sure.
Well, to be honest with you, reading the book, at first I got a little confused because I was like, whoa, you know, because it's a lot to digest, you know.
I know. I don't even understand everything he told me. I'm still digesting it. I mean, you know, much of what he said was new to me. So I just kind of take it, you know, as truth, and I certainly am not trying to impose this on anybody else. It's just what I received, and here it is in a book.
You know, and I think that it's wonderful and amazing that you've been able to put it out there and share it with people. But I do remember reading all those passages, and at first I was kind of like, wait, what? But I actually drew it out. And I was at home with my husband at the time, and he asked me, he's like, what are you reading? And when I explained the concept of the book to him, he was like, wait a minute, we have that pact. And I'm like, I know, we made that pact several years ago. Once he started to talk about it and I started to describe the book to him, I started reading passages, you know, of what David said to my husband because, you know, I do work as a professional intuitive. You know, I teach classes and I work with clientele and so forth. So a lot of the things that David was saying made so much sense for me because I do work professionally as a medium as well. But I actually started drawing it all out. I was making, like, these circles, and I was like, okay, this is the oneness, and then this is where this comes in, and I actually started to do that. You know, and some things still maybe don't make full sense to me, but I feel like he gave it to you, you know, and you gave it to the public in a way that it maybe it's not meant to be fully understood, but it gives us some insight. It does make us understand that death doesn't always have to be, you know, scary or frightening, you know, that there is a strong possibility of the other side.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, earlier you talked about putting things in a box, and spiritually, I don't think we can put the afterlife in a box because our minds can't conceptualize everything that is truth. And so to try to say it's this and this and this almost diminishes the truth of it, don't you think?
Yes, and that actually brings up a concept. I was actually just flipping through the book and looking for it because I remember David did talk to you about time. I don't know if you remember that. From what I can remember, and I'm going off the top of my head here, so bear with me, but that there really is no such thing as time over there. There's no such thing as time. Time is relevant with, you know, on Earth for us because it is something that we need within our human cells, our human bodies, but that time doesn't really exist for them over there.
Yes, yes. And that's kind of the theory of relativity, too, that there's no time or space. Everything's happening at once, which is, whoa, you know, that concept was introduced to me, I think it was when I was in my postgraduate degree studies, and I couldn't grasp it at all. But if we are to believe Einstein's theory of relativity, all of our experiences, including lifetimes, are happening at one time. That's a big concept to understand.
I think that was, to be honest with you, one of the easiest for me to understand.
Really? Of course, aren't you?
And that was just because, you know, in my line of work and what I do, you know, I'm here for Body, Mind, and Spirit Guide and working in the community and so forth. But my experiences as a medium and working with spirits, that's the first thing I try to explain to people. You know, when I've worked with spirits, that they're not on a time frame. I mean, they might tell you what they think you should be doing or give you advice, but you got to remember, they have no sense of time over there. It's just a concurrent. It just keeps going. It's just there. You know, and I mean, that was easy for me to understand, but I think a lot of people and listeners out there who are going to read the book or have read the book, I'm sure that that's a little confusing.
yeah, for sure. I did ask David, what is the purpose of our incarnations? Most of us on a spiritual path feel that there are lessons, you know, to be learned, that the soul grows through lessons. So I asked what was the purpose of these lessons, and he said, each incarnation manifests the oneness. And he uses the term the oneness, Courtney, a lot. I think what he explained was that when we think of heaven, that's the term that we use down here, and we look up to the sky, and we think that everybody on the other side is sky and heaven. And he is saying that heaven is an okay word to use, but it's really just oneness there. So when he says each incarnation manifests the oneness, as souls, it is our desire to experience all that is. In other words, we know it is our job or our duty to grow and evolve within the oneness. Therefore, the oneness evolves. Each soul accepts it will experience as many lessons or material and non-material experiences as possible to further the growth and evolution of the oneness. Lessons are the events, the experiences, actions, reactions, thoughts, decisions, insights, and emotions in all situations by all our material and non-material life forms and the realms of being we have experienced that we choose to experience, which direct us towards the oneness. In other words, what he has said here, if I understand it right, is a revelation that may upset many people, because what he's saying is that the oneness, or what we envision as God or the divine being or the universal divine being, is also evolving and growing, so that all of our soul's experiences evolve our individual souls, but also help grow and evolve the oneness or God. So that concept is, I think, going to upset some people. but when I said that to a group of people a few weeks ago, somebody said, but that's just logical, that if one dimension or one realm is evolving and growing, that impacts a higher realm of knowing, and so that they can also learn and evolve. What's your thought on that?
You know, I agree with that. You know, somebody once told me it doesn't matter what we believe, we're all going to reach the same end. And I remember being little at the time when I was told that, and I thought, well, then what's the point of belief? You know, what's the point of faith? But I think that it makes sense that every experience and lesson and, you know, instance that we deal with here, you know, in this lifetime, why not only is it helping us grow and learn, but why couldn't it help the source, you know, learn and grow as well? You know, it's that phrase, you know, not just teach but learn. You know, just because you're teaching something and just because you're offering that situation doesn't mean you just can't learn just as much from your students.
Oh, I totally agree that. When I was counseling, I'm a retired psychotherapist, and when I was counseling, I can't believe how much insight I learned from my patients. I mean, I feel like what I gave them was little in comparison to what I learned, you know, from them. So I totally do agree with that. He says,
and I think
that
go ahead.
What?
Well, I was going to say, I think that's the best way to kind of understand it is that, you know, for us to be learning and continuously evolving, that we're helping something else continue through learning and evolve. You know, and every plane is different, you know. You know, every life that we go through is different for a reason.
Yes, yes. He ends that by saying, all life is growing or evolving, even the oneness. The oneness is merely energy or light. I cannot see the oneness as I see the light forms of souls in my soul being and the other souls around me. The oneness is unseeable, but is sensible I sense the oneness around and with me, just as you sense God all around and in you. The love of the oneness has no boundaries, no restrictions, and no judgments. I thought that was beautiful.
Yes, I completely agree. You know, for those who have not read the book, you know, Grab Your Life in there, you know, How You Met David, which I thought that was just wonderful. Because it really gives you...
I kind of shared a little too much. That was fun.
It gives us an insight on David, too. You know, it lets us get to know him as well as a person.
Yeah.
To understand by the time we reach the end of the book and he's saying these things that we can kind of look at it and go, well, yeah, we would really think that would be something he would say.
Yeah. He was a regular, you know, he was an inner spiritual person, but not outwardly. And when we met, we talked about religion, and we were both raised in a basic Christian type form. But we both had a feeling that we had lived before. And so we talked a little about reincarnation, but not a lot. It wasn't something that he felt as strongly as I did. I've always felt that I have lived before, and he wasn't quite so sure. So it was very interesting then for him to, you know, confirm that for me and to actually tell me about some of the lifetimes that we had had together. And for your listeners, I will tell you that I was actually able to, what do I want to say, confirm some of my lifetimes by looking up information and finding them. And there's a chart at the back of the book which states some of those lifetimes that I was able to verify.
Yes, and I found that very interesting because, you know, I read through the whole thing and then I get to the back of the book and I'm looking at this chart and I'm thinking, wow, our perception of relationships and, you know, what we determine as soulmates and kindred spirits is a little off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I think that in one of your lives that you listed, you know, your son, who was your son in this lifetime, was actually a husband in a previous life.
Yes, and that goes true with David and I. We were sisters, and he was my son once. And, of course, these few lifetimes that he told me about, I'm sure there's many, many more. I didn't put every single lifetime in, actually, that he shared with me either, or many of the channeling questions that were more personal. But I think that my readers will get a good idea, you know, from what I did put in.
Oh, I definitely agree. One of the questions that I know you asked David, and I actually have it right in front of me, I'm looking at it, and I know it's one of those questions that I get all the time, and I'm sure a lot of people get, where they question, you know, themselves about is, you know, why do we go through so much violence, or why is there so much violence and negativity and, you know, murder, trauma, all of that here on Earth? And I do believe David did give you an answer for that.
What page was that on?
150.
Do you want to read it, or do you want me to?
I can read it, actually. I don't mind. You asked, can you explain why there is so much violence on Earth? And he answered, of course you would ask this question, Barbara. You understand that you, your soul, came from a center of peace and light. For those who remember what the oneness is, it is more difficult to tolerate the violence found in many realms of existence. If you think back on all we have told you so far about souls incarnating to experience all life experiences, you can understand why it is necessary for some to experience lifetimes of violence and some to be present while violence is occurring. Earth has always been a disruptive planet, but one where a quickened evolution can and is taking place. Other planets and realms have less violence and a slower vibration of energy. Many on Earth choose lifetimes to experience the dense base of base emotions of aggression. It has always been evident that Earth can provide souls the engagement of base emotions such as anger, aggression, jealousy, and destruction towards others, but with an accelerated pace of evolution. These lessons are usually learned in a few lifetimes while on Earth. Souls have gravitated to experience them many times and have incarnated specifically to experience destructive behavior. Many have been in a succession of Earth war experiences.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you?
It made perfect sense to me because I think that looking at it, you know, it's hard to, it's kind of hard, I guess my best way of putting it is we wouldn't appreciate everything that we have if there wasn't trauma and there wasn't grief and there wasn't these experiences. And it's kind of like you can't eat one slice of the pie and fully appreciate it unless you really have the whole pie, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of have to take it in complete stride, you know, that every experience, whether good or bad, you know, or gray, because some people like to look at things black or white, you know, allows us to evolve, you know, it allows us to find compassion. And I think,
yeah.
I guess that's what I took from that, is it comes down to we as the idea of compassion and love and forgiveness.
Yes, yes. If you've read any of Carl Jung's work and the shadow that we have, without the shadow, there is no light. And this makes sense to me also.
Mm-hmm. But I think for our listeners out there, you know, because we do have several, actually, I just want to let you know that.
Good, good. Hi, listeners.
But I think that that's something that everybody always questions is, you know, that whole why me? Why am I dealing with this negativity? Why am I going through this trauma? Why am I having this life experience? I feel like David kind of answered that in a way. It's just an experience, something that everybody needs to go through in order to really reach that high vibration as a soul.
Yes, I believe that's true. I guess the idea that if we experience every direct experience or indirect experience that is possible on Earth and other planets, possibly, or even non-physical realms, possibly, then perhaps we won't need to incarnate again.
And I have to ask you, how do you feel about that? I mean, that idea alone could probably give us a whole nother hour of conversation.
I know.
But how do you feel about, you know, maybe not being able to reincarnate or coming to a place where maybe you have learned everything that you need to learn?
I think very, very, very few physical masters on Earth have come to that place. I asked him about masters, and actually, let me read you a little something he said. I said, let's see, what did I ask? I asked, please tell me about masters, and he said, think of that light bulb again. Visualize the light bulb as a soul being and all the light beams from it as their souls in keeping. The souls venture outward to land on many individual places, emitting the light from the bulb. And the bulb, the soul being, is connected to the oneness, the divine power source. You may have you may really feel that there are no masters walking the earth, and I tend to feel that there are many masters walking this earth in our lifetime and have walked this earth, and that there are masters also that have evolved to the point where they do not need to incarnate. They have joined with what David calls the oneness. So I guess that's my take on it.
Well, you know, I don't want to jump into religion. I don't, because I know a lot of people who are listening to this show right now and who will be listening to this show in archives are many different religions. So I don't want to go into the whole religious field, but I do know that in the book you did ask about a few, you know, masters, and one of them, you know, was Jesus of Nazareth, and he gave you an interpretation of him as a master and maybe why he has not incarnated again, or why we haven't seen him here on earth again. And I found that really, really interesting, because I think no matter what religion you are, you know, the idea of Jesus and him being a prophet or a master or connected to the one God, or, you know, whatever faith that you believe or whatever you believe, I think that David's answer kind of put it in a way that anybody could understand it. It doesn't matter what you believe, anybody could understand that and really partake that. And I thought that was beautifully put by him.
Good. I'm going to leave that. I'm not going to read that. I'll let your readers or your followers get the book and read that themselves. Because if I do, I'm afraid it will kind of trigger too much of the religious aspect. I agree. Yeah. Anything else that you want to know about me or...
I would love to know how this has impacted you. You know, you. I know this is not your first book, and I know that you, I'm not quite sure how many you have written before, but I do know that this is not your first, but how has your life changed from this whole entire experience?
That's a good personal question. This is my sixth book, actually. I've written many recovery type books, also nonfiction and spiritual books. And this book for me confirms my beliefs that, for several reasons, that we have souls. Souls continue after our physical body passes away. And those souls have the option to incarnate into other humans or other forms of life, other places. Personally, just getting back in touch with David and hearing his voice and channeling his words was one of the... most loving things to experience. Being a channel yourself, Courtney, you probably, it brings tears to my eyes, but you probably also feel that connection to oneness or love or the universe when this is happening, and that's exactly the impact that made on me. So to share that with other people is a very personal thing, as we said before. And it's been 3 years, just almost 3 years now, since David passed away. And reading through the book like this and going back through it just brings it right back to me. And it's had a big impact on my life and the direction that my life may go also. I think I mentioned when I first, before... he came to me, and before he died, I was working on my first fiction novel, and I haven't worked on it now in about a year and a half, and I'm so eager to get back to writing again, and I know my life will be different because of this.
Well, you know, that was going to be my next question, is what are you working on now?
I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's I want to say it's kind of going to be more for women than it is men, but maybe not. It's called Finding Destiny, and there is some spiritual parts to it. And it's set in 1970 with a teenager, a young teenage woman, and then it takes a look at her life and what happens, and it intermingles with an older woman my age living in California and how their lives are joined.
Well, I would definitely look forward to reading that when you're done with it and it's out there and published, and I'm sure we would be more than willing to have you back on here as well to talk about it.
I would love it. I would love it. I wanted to also tell your listeners that they can get the packed Messages from the Other Side through any bookstore by special ordering it. It's also available online through all of the bookstores, and it's on all the e-readers, Kindle and Nook and all of that. So it's very easily available.
And if they would like to connect with you or if they have any questions for you, how can they do that?
Just go to my website, which is drsinor.com, and there is a link there to contact me. You'll find out more about my other books and more about this book on that website.
And, you know, I know that we're running out of time. We actually have about 8 minutes left. But what else would you like to share with the listeners about the book or about yourself or about your experiences?
I think I want to reiterate that I'm not a channel for the public. I'm not a medium for the public. I'm very intuitive, and I'm sure I have some psychic abilities. But I am a retired psychotherapist, so I'm not taking personal clients. I'm on Facebook under my name, Barbara Sinor, so certainly friend me, and we can message that way. The book also has its own page on Facebook. It's just the title of the book, and I would love it if you'd all go and like that page. I think it's got a little over 500 likes, which is wonderful, in the few weeks that I've put it up. I feel very honored to be on your show, Courtney, and to be talking with you and having all your listeners hear my words.
Well, we love having you here, and it, to be honest with you, it was an honor to be able to interview you today and to talk with you about your book. I've actually been looking forward to this interview all month. and like I said in the beginning of the show, today is Friday the 13th and a full moon, so I find that a little ironic in a way, but I also feel like maybe the universe is trying to really help you get your messages out there and really to let people know, you know, what David brought to you and how this impacted you. And I think it's amazing that you were able to share this with anybody and everybody. You know, that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of confidence. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, having a spouse or loving someone for the majority of your life, you kind of have that emotional state of, you know, what happens between us stays between us. You know, that's mine.
That is true. We met each other as teenagers, and so he actually passed away the week that we had met 50 years ago in 1961. So it is a little bit intimidating for me to talk about some of the personal things, but I think I wrote in the book much of it, and so I know your followers and your listeners will enjoy reading this book.
Yes, I think that they very much will. And like Barbara said, you can find her book online or through any bookstore. You can order it. You know, I know a lot of people out there love Amazon. It's available on Amazon, and you can get it on your Kindle or e-reader. I highly recommend you read it. I guarantee you when you sit down to read it, you will not put it down. It's just one of those books that once you get into the flesh of it, you have to read the whole thing, you know, from beginning all the way through the end. It's really an amazing book. It's an amazing experience. It will be emotional for anybody who can really connect to that. But I think that it's great for anyone. I actually finished reading it, and I actually let a good friend of mine borrow the book, and she has not lost her spouse. But she lost her grandmother several months back, and I worked with her after her grandmother passed. And it was a very traumatic experience for her, and I gave her the book to read, and I told her, I said, you know what, this might make perfect sense to you, it might make no sense to you. I was like, well, maybe it will help you understand that losing someone, you know, they're still there. And she read it, and she's like, oh, my gosh, like, this helped me so much. It just, those words really resonated. So I think what you have done is very, very amazing, Barbara.
Oh, good. I really didn't think about it being so helpful for people that had lost loved ones. I thought it would be more bought by people that were into reincarnation or just spirituality itself. But I am finding that many, many people that have lost loved ones are getting a lot of healing and solace from it. So that's a wonderful avenue for the book to go.
Well, I think that you're going to find that a lot of people who are interested in anything spiritual are going to want to pick it up and read it, and you'll find yourself impacting a lot of different people. But that's the point of putting those words out there is to help. So I think that you're going to do an amazing job with that. I want to thank you so much for being here today and allowing me to interview you, and I look forward to hopefully connecting with you and talking again with you in the future.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on, Courtney.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody for listening to In Touch Interviews today. Barbara Stangler, author of the PAX, Messages from the Other Side. I want to highly recommend that you pick it up, read it, enjoy it. You're also welcome to listen to the show and archive. It'll definitely be on there and connect with Barbara through her website. And if you're out there listening and you've written a book or you've established a product line or you have a store or business and you would like to host your own interview, feel free to contact me at radio@bodymindspiritguide.com. You can email me. You can also go to bodymindspiritradio.com and connect with me through there to maybe talk about your book or your product or host your own show. I want to thank everybody for being here. Have a wonderful Friday the 13th. It is a lucky day, and enjoy the full moon tonight. Thank you, and bye-bye.